Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today, Friday, December 16th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
As quick as this year went by, I can't wait till this year ends. I complained all year long just about how quickly this year was going, but I'll tell you what, after this
year... It'll slow down next year, Melody. Trust me.
Is it going to slow down next
year?
Yeah,
you can trust me on that one.
Volatility always makes it seem a little bit slower, but I'll tell you what, two more weeks, and we'll be out of this month, or... closely there, about 2 weeks. But gold today had a little bit of a comeback. I'm not gonna talk about gold. I don't want to jinx its big recovery today of $5.50 at $1,134.70. And you know what, I was talking about how gold responds usually after a second rate increase, but it doesn't mean it's going to go up the day after or during the day of that second rate increase cycle. I mean, you know, you're going to have all kinds of different knee-jerk reactions and in the various parts of the market, particularly when everything is so dang rigged. But over the period of time, and I think going into 2017, yes, gold... we are seeing the lows at these levels, and you are going to see some major moves in gold for the year 2017. Look up the definition of volatility, and you're going to see the U.S. economy posted there as a picture. But a lot of volatility, I believe, in a lot of areas in this country next year. And so we have gold up $5.50 today, $1,134. Silver is up 13 cents today at $16.18. Platinum was the beauty of the day, up almost 3.5%, up $31 at $929. Palladium was down 10, $696. USDX today, I saw a little pressure on that, not a whole lot, 0.23 to the downside at 102.89. Crude oil reversed its position up $1.07 at 51.97. And I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to the stock market today because barely can you go anywhere. And it's back to, oh, we're only so many points away from Dow 20,000. And for those of you who remember, we went through the same thing with Dow 10,000. And so we have the Dow, you know, very little change in the markets today. 9 points, 19,843. The NASDAQ was down 19 at 5,437. And the S&P was down 4 at 2,258. I thought maybe they might hit the Dow 20,000, you know, before Christmas next week, give everybody something to talk about over the holiday table. You know, but on the other hand, they might just keep it at this level and, you know, still give them something to talk about the Dow hitting 20,000. But there's so many views and opinions and analysis of these markets, including ours, that tell you that, you know, these numbers are going to be short-lived. So take advantage of them. If you're making profits in any of your paper investments, get out and get them protected. Doesn't mean you have to sell 100% of them, but get it protected. That's the only logical and sensible thing for folks to do in the markets and the economy and our political venues that we see happening for 2017. 10-year yield did hit 2.60% today, up 0.02. The euro, you know, it's up the same amount. The dollar was down, still at 104. And, you know, everything is... you know, everyone is sort of distracted with the holidays becoming upon us. But there was some interesting news today. I think one of the biggest ones that you're hearing folks talk about, and when we're not quite sure how serious the situation is, you could take it either way. Oh, it's not so serious. Or, you know what, this could lead to something that we're not quite sure. And it could be the first international incident that's given to Mr. Trump for his first 100 days, but we had a U.S. drone, a water drone that was seized by a Chinese Navy warship. Did you hear about that, Al?
No, I hadn't heard a word.
in international waters of the South China Sea. Actually, yesterday, the United States has filed a diplomatic protest with China over the incident.
Diplomatic protest.
Well, you know what? They had no business taking it, regardless of what. So, what are they?
I'd like they're going to be impressed by a diplomatic protest.
Well, let's just go on a little bit further. But there was no reason for them to do it. I mean, what was their point?
Well, theft.
What was the point? I mean, it wasn't like there was.
Well, looking for technology. I mean, if you can hijack one of these drones, you can probably learn how to make your own.
But it happened yesterday afternoon, and there was a U.S. Navy vessel. It was conducting research on these unmanned underwater vessels. And there was two of them. So there was someone actually there attending to one of them when the Chinese, when a small boat was launched from a nearby Chinese Navy warship. The boat retrieved the other drone from the water and returned it to the Chinese vessel. The American crew contacted the Chinese vessel by radio multiple times, demanding the return of the drone. The demands were ignored. The only response that Chinese vessel gave was, "We are returning to normal operations," and then they pulled away. And this is according to the Pentagon. And you know, so I think this is interesting. We'll have to see. I mean, you can take little situations like this out, and it can develop into something more than just So, you know, is the timing. You know, the timing is interesting when there's been a lot of discussions on what is going to happen with trade between these two countries. We also see, you know, with Taiwan making the phone call. So, you know, you put all these things together, and I think it's a little more than just, you know, an interesting little subject to talk about. I mean, it could have some significant impacts. Yes.
Potentially, yeah. I think they are perhaps fortunate this happened on Obama's watch, because he's virtually certain to do nothing about it. We'll watch and see, but more than likely he's not going to do anything other than go play golf someplace. If it had happened on Trump's, when Trump had taken office in the first week, month, whatever, I think it would at least incline Trump to do something fairly dramatic. Could escalate. With Obama sitting there, I don't know.
Well, we don't know what's going to happen,
but you know,
we don't know if this will be resolved before the 20th of January.
It's not a question of being resolved. There will be something done, and I doubt it won't be a live issue by the 20th of January. It's unlikely to be a live issue by the 20th of January. Trump is going to come into the office. This is going to be old news. He's going to say, whatever they did, whatever they started doing, fine. He's not going to be inclined to jump in on it. But if it had happened and Trump was sitting in the Oval Office today, I think we might expect a more serious response.
But the point is, this drone will have to be returned. And if the Chinese don't return it, I mean, it is kind of like a line in the sand. You either return our drone or... So if this doesn't get resolved, it could be one of Trump's first international incidents that he might have to address.
He might, but again, who knows what's going to happen
timing,
here, but I'm just guessing
the
that...
The timing, well, I would think, too. I mean, it should be resolved by then. I mean, it's a whole month away, but...
Well, it's dumped in Obama's lap. It's dumped in the lap of Congress. I don't think they've retired yet for Christmas vacation.
Obama has.
Well, he's been retired for a long time.
He goes to Hawaii today or tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Too bad. Put him in a drone.
Let China take it.
Put him in a drone and send him out in the South China Sea, and let's see what happens.
But so anyway, it was. It'll be interesting to see how that comes about. There was, I guess, Obama did his last press conference.
Nah.
Today. And
that's hard to believe.
That's his last press conference before he heads off. And there was some
before
discussion.
He heads off, but not before he's out of office. He's got a couple more weeks to go.
This is his last official press conference in his
maybe for
term.
This year.
No, for his term. And
it's interesting.
You know, unless something happens, then he'll be back in. But, you know, he made comments about Russia, about this hacking and so forth. And he seems to be a little bit quiet about that. So I'm not
quite
sure. Something
is going to blow up in the Democrats' face by the time they get done with this and they're complaining. You know, Hillary lost fair and square, and maybe she even lost unfair and square, and the unfairness and the unsquareness was on her side. And she still lost. And the Democrats need to just accept that. They're trying now to persuade some elements of the Democratic leadership are trying to persuade cause the Electoral College to cast its votes later. They want more time so they can fix the election. People in Hollywood have put up a video where they're trying to get the electors to say, look, vote for somebody who's eminently qualified. It's not, you don't have to vote for Hillary now. You could if you wanted to. How about Barack? How about another year? How about another 4 years of Barack if the Electoral College votes him in? You know, the truth is we had a set of rules. Everybody is supposed to play by the rules, and when it's over, if you won, you won, and if you lost, you lost. Right? And what we have from the Democratic Party is they keep coming and goes, no, we've got to change the rules so we can win this no matter what happens. And it is evidence to me that the Democrat Party has a death wish. They're behaving like a bunch of buffoons, a bunch of thugs.
Which I don't understand.
They lost the election. It's very simple. They lost the election. And when they talk about it, I don't know if you've seen that video. I just saw it a few minutes ago.
Yeah, but you know what?
Eminently qualified. When they say eminently qualified, does that mean someone who's actually born in this country, or does that include people who have phony birth certificates?
But that's not even, you know what, Al? That's done. That's passed. My question is, if they were so sure that he is so unfit to serve as president, why don't they just shut up, let him get in there on January 20th, because he is so unfit, let him prove to the people just how unfit he is. They shouldn't have anything to worry about.
There's another point.
Let them impeach him if he is so unfit and he proves to that point. So why don't they just, if they think he is so unfit, just let him prove to them.
Why
that
didn't
he is
they make
so.
That point during the election? They had an opportunity to voice that opinion.
I know that.
The American people didn't accept it.
They
didn't
that.
Particularly voice it, and even if they did, the American people didn't accept it. They said, I'll tell you who's unfit. It's Hillary. And it's the Democratic Party, and it's large, more than that, the establishment. And people said, we don't want the establishment. We want Mr. Trump.
Yep.
He'll give us a shot. Maybe he won't. I don't know how it's going to work out, but at least he does not. It appeared during the election that he's not in the pocket of the establishment. I know he lives in the same neighborhood, but it does not appear that he is part and parcel of that establishment.
And
now they're coming out and saying, oh, no, change the rules so we can still win. You lost. Get over it.
I know. It really is amazing. I was shocked. But again, then you go back to the numbers. They only need 37. 37 out of 500. And I mean, so Monday will be an interesting day. I don't think there's going to be, you know, I believe it's a done deal. I believe he will be sworn in on the 20th of January. But there's a lot of people who have, you know, believe that he won't. So anyway, Monday will be interesting. But in the meantime, we talked about Mark Faber a little earlier this week. He's the publisher of Gloom, Boom, and Doom Report. And he was on CNBC, and he told them earlier today that if President-elect Donald Trump's rhetoric ends up fueling a trade war with China, he says it could actually be the U.S. that might take it on the chin. And so he talks about if there may be some sort of a trade war escalation or trade restrictions with China, he says that might be more of a negative for the U.S. than it is for China. And he did talk about China's yuan that has fallen against the U.S. dollar. And again, we've just been, you know, told that, you know, China has been selling U.S. debt in order to purchase their currencies to keep it from dropping to the levels that it has. Japan has now overtaken China's lead in the purchase of U.S.
debt.
It's the number one holder
of United States debt.
Correct.
Or it was China, now it's Japan.
By by a very little. It's almost tie, but you just say that you know, Japan is ahead of China. But so, you know, he doesn't see a lot of positive thought for the U.S. Depending on how these this trade is handled with China. He says China does not depend on the U.S. The U.S. is still its largest export destination as a country, but taken together, all the emerging markets are for China much more important. You know, and that's something that not a lot of people take a look at and do some comparisons. But you know, even though they might do more with, I would still think that the U.S. was still pretty important to China.
It's the biggest trading partner they have. That's my assumption. I believe that's still true. And so long as it's true, it doesn't matter. They can have 50 other trading partners that collectively are bigger, but still.
That's right. They're collectively bigger.
And yeah, they're collectively, so, but still, they're going to look at this. This is
but the U.S. has the power.
I'd say so.
You know, so that the, and I'm not convinced that's what makes the difference.
Mr. Faber is certainly, he's an intelligent guy and knowledgeable and has access to, you know, information sources and whatever that most people, including me, don't have. Just the same, I'm skeptical of the idea that China would get, the United States would take it on the chin and China'd skate. China is vulnerable. China is very vulnerable. It has too many people, too much pollution. They're trying to robotize their industries over there, which means they're going to have extraordinary unemployment. They have extraordinary debt. They are also vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And no matter how much talk they put out, they have to think to themselves, you know, if this goes badly, we could be in a lot of trouble. I don't think China wants to rock the boat, even though if we can look at the capturing this drone today or yesterday, that indicates maybe they do want to rock the boat. But you know, they say people who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. China lives in a glass house.
I don't think they're.
And they can throw stones and they can break a couple of our windows, but in the end, we have a much stronger nation with fewer problems than China does. They have certain advantages right now, but those advantages won't last forever. And what we have here is a lot of open space, a lot of resources. We're not overpopulated. The pollution isn't murderous.
I know.
There's a lot of advantages if we can get the idiots in Washington off our backs. We can run this country if we can get Washington to go away. That's what we ought to do. We ought to move Washington, package Washington in a drone, and float it off the coast of China and say, here, take this one. Let's take a break for a couple of commercials. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, I just wanted to finish up with what he was saying, but he also talked about the credit bubble in China, and that really puts, in it. But he also says that, hey, there's a credit bubble everywhere in the world. Mm. It's just that China's is bigger, and he says that it will have to be deflated. So again, these are just another problem in the world that
there's plenty of them, they're all over,
and the main problem comes back to the debt problem, because that's where it all stems from.
Yeah, I agree.
Or the debt problems, and I mean, that's how everything has been able. I mean, free trade agreements, if it wasn't for having fiat currencies, they wouldn't exist.
Yeah. So,
you know, he's pessimistic about the markets.
You're talking about Mark Faber. Mark Faber is pessimistic about the markets. Yeah.
He says the U.S. bull market will be 8 years old. He says by any standard, this is a very aging bull market. By June 2017, the economic recovery will be 8 years old. He says by any standard, he says that is a recovery that is very mature. Well, we know we really didn't have a recovery, so.
Yeah, so what does that mean?
So what does that mean?
If we didn't really have a recovery, maybe the 8 years doesn't count yet. We've got another 8 years before with the situation as it exists. The whole thing is
bizarre.
A certain amount of madness going on here, and you just have to drink lots of fluoridated water, and it won't bother you that much.
But here's another country that is dealing with the decline in currencies is Turkey.
Yeah.
The nation's residents sold 451, it's not a lot. I'm not sure if this is liras or it would be in millions in the U.S. dollars to boost their currency. But on the other side of that, they're buying gold.
Turkey is?
Turkey is buying gold.
Yeah.
And the residents are buying it, and they're boosting their precious metals holdings.
Well, wait, let me be clear. Let me see if I understand this correctly. You're saying that both the government and the people of Turkey have increased their purchase of gold.
The residents are increasing their purchase.
Okay, the residents are, not the government.
No. They're
okay. All right. That means they're losing faith in their lira. Mm-hmm. They think they're in trouble, and they are going to...
They're trying to hold the lira from dropping more, but the residents have spent $700 million for gold, precious metals. So
that's not an enormous sum, but it may
be
a significant
enormous
increase.
But
for
I mean,
Turkey.
You're seeing what happens to. Well, look at the people here in the United States. We have how many people here? And you're looking at 1% of the population that buys gold.
Mm.
You know, yes, dollar-wise is extremely more, but I don't think the people in Turkey are as wealthy as the people here in
no,
the United
not.
States.
No, there's no comparison. It's a question of what does it indicate in the body politic? What does it... You know, one of the things that is encouraging to some degree, we've watched the U.S. dollar index rise 8 or 9% in the last few weeks, and we've also seen the price of gold fall significantly. And what that does, from my perspective, I've argued this in the past, that gold is the premier monetary metal. It's not equal to silver. It's way more monetary than silver. Silver is primarily an industrial metal. It's got some monetary application, but it's mostly industrial. Gold is mostly monetary, and it's what we're seeing when you look at the price of gold, how it's gone down at the same time the U.S. dollar index has gone up, you're seeing the relationship of gold to the dollar. And it just emphasizes that gold is primarily a monetary metal. When the dollar goes up, gold goes down. Now, the question then becomes, how much higher can the U.S. dollar index go? How high can the dollar go? How much deflation can we can our system absorb and withstand? And what is your projection, ladies and gentlemen? You sit down and you make up your own mind. What's going to happen to the dollar over the course of the next year, 3 years, 5 years? Are we going to see the dollar become stronger and stronger and stronger, or are we likely to see the dollar dissolve into some sort of inflation or even hyperinflation? Which one is more likely? You're going to make your decision into whether you want to invest in gold or not as based on what's happening. What do you think is going to happen to the fiat dollar? It's already lost 95% of its value compared to 1971. It's almost certain to lose the remaining 5%. The only question is when and how long it'll take to lose that remaining 4% or 5%, whatever's there. When that disappears, and the public loses confidence, and it seems to me that it's virtually certain that it's going to happen, although we can't say it's going to happen in 2017. Is it going to happen in 2021? I don't know. Are we headed for that point? If we are, you want gold. If the dollar's going down, long-term, short-term, mid-term, where do you see the dollar? If it's going down, you want gold.
I'll guarantee you one of the top questions or issues, I think when Mr. Trump asks corporations what their top few problems that they're having, I'll guarantee you one of them is the strong dollar. There's been, what, 4 or 5 quarters where earnings of these multinational corporations are all down? I mean, these corporations are getting killed by a strong dollar. So I'll guarantee you that is one of the things that gets reversed, you know, after January 20th.
Well, they may try to reverse it, but it'll be difficult to do so long as it remains a world reserve currency. It sits on the one end of the teeter-totter, and the other fiat currencies sit on the other end.
Yeah,
when Japan goes down, dollar has to go up.
Yeah, well, I guarantee you the dollar will go down.
Well, I'm inclined. I believe that too.
It's not that difficult to
manipulate. It's going to be complicated by world reserve currency status.
All governments manipulate currencies. It is not difficult to drop our currency.
Oh, it is.
Not at all.
Compared to the others. The others are working to inflate. As long as we sit on that teeter-totter relationship where we are at one end of the teeter-totter as world reserve currency and the other fiat currencies sit at the opposite end, when they inflate, we deflate. And that's why the dollar's gone up, in my opinion. We've seen significant inflation in Japan. We've seen significant inflation in China. We've seen significant inflation. I say, the euro's
dollar
getting weaker.
Has gone
up. It's getting weaker, but everybody wants a weaker currency so they can sell on the global market. They can sell their product at cheaper prices.
But the dollar has also gotten stronger because investors have been buying the dollar as a safer.
It's one of the things that Yellen is theoretically doing by raising interest.
You have all of these emerging markets that got hammered with the low oil prices. There was no place else for these people to put their money, and they were scooping up the dollar. And that is a large part of why the dollar's gotten stronger. Just like so many of different commodities, the dollar anymore is a commodity, and it's traded like a commodity, which, you know, so who's to say where the real value of the dollar is at even today? So
the real value of the dollar is zero.
It's a fiat. Based on their world and, you know, the number that they give it, you know, who knows where it should be. Yeah, it should be a lot lower than where it is. But I believe they could drop it if they care to drop it.
If they do, they're going to cripple world trade and they're going to do some real damage to foreign countries. I mean, that's part of the problem. I think I suspect
they're going to have to.
I could be absolutely mistaken.
It's either them or us.
Well, it may not be quite that way they look at it. If they are really dedicated to the New World Order, and by they I mean, say, the Federal Reserve and or Barack Obama and the people in the Washington establishment, if they're really dedicated to New World Order, one world government, then maybe they're willing to sacrifice the United States on the with more deflation for us and more inflation for foreign countries to try to stimulate the foreign economies. All right, if we allow them to sell our products cheap enough, maybe we'll buy enough, maybe the world will buy enough of their products to stimulate the global economy.
And that's what they've done for the past 2 years. And it's not going to go on, and it's not going to go on. And, you know, you have to, and you know what, I don't think...
I mean, they won't try. It's like people trying to get Hillary still elected.
I mean, we
already
know.
They're still working to get Hillary elected.
We already know with the new administration the amount of inflation that's going to sweep this country. You can't be planning on $1 trillion, and I get it, it's over a period of time, but you can't plan on $1 trillion infrastructure spending and not have a little bit of inflation in this country. In order to increase wages, they need inflation. I mean, it's just everything that they need now.
I know.
They need inflation, and we're going to get it. We're going to get it big time. So,
we're going to have people screaming in Europe and China.
But the thing
and
of it
Japan.
Is, the dollar doesn't have to go to zero, and that's what most people don't understand. I mean, we're looking at 102 now on the dollar. I mean, if it drops to 86, I mean, that's pretty significant.
Oh, it's big time.
You know, and, if, and then we'll
evidence
have
evidence of serious inflation.
Yes. So again, you know, people think it has to go to zero. No,
no,
it
no. I don't. No, I don't mean
I
zero
don't
on the dollar index.
Ever, I don't think the dollar will ever go. Well.
Yeah, it could.
If it's heading to zero,
know.
They will replace it.
I'm talking about purchasing power as compared to 1971. Dollar will buy less than a nickel's worth of goods and services as compared to what it would buy in 1971. It's lost 95% or more of its purchasing power in the last 45 years. I'm predicting that it will go, and it's going to lose, it's at 95 now, it's going to go to 96, and then 97, 98, 99, then finally 100%. We're going to have a dollar that's worth virtually nothing. And at some point in time, the public loses confidence. They say, I don't want any more of this paper.
And when the market breaks and you have the bank failures, you don't have the Federal Reserve that has the room to bail anyone out. The government doesn't have the room to bail anyone out. So there's no stopping it the next time. And I think it's, you know, they're setting themselves up. We know what the, as
well,
I mentioned yesterday.
They're just playing for time. They're kicking the can down the road, and it's the only thing they can do. This is a game that is going to end. This is like playing Russian roulette, right, where you've got to spin. You got to keep spinning the cylinder and pulling the trigger. Sooner or later, the bad bullet is going to come out, and you're going to be in big trouble. If you keep playing the game and they have no choice, this is guaranteed to fail. It is a house of cards. It's a Ponzi scheme. It's a fraud. It's a fiction. It's contrary to thousands of years of human economics and industry, and they've tried it with this debt-based monetary system. This is going to blow up, and the only question is when.
Yep.
And whose head will the gun be pointed at when they pull the trigger? There's the only question. What we do on this program, say, look, get your head out of the way. And part of the way you can do that is you get some gold. Right? The trigger's going off, but we can't tell you when. There's the problem.
I know the frustration that gold owners and gold believers, and I don't call you, I'm not a gold bug. I believe in gold. I believe the function of it. I believe it as a monetary metal. I believe what it does and how it protects your purchasing power. I'm not a gold bug, but I know the reality of things, and I know where this is headed, and I know how frustrated it can be for those who own gold and those who want to purchase gold, but to see the price going down. And it's difficult to put these, and everybody waits. Everybody waits.
Yeah, human nature. That's just the way it is.
It's just the way it is.
Yep.
But you cannot...
But you can't wait forever.
You can't wait forever.
And the problem you have is this.
You can't let the prices scare you.
Well, the prices have to influence, and everybody's going to sit back and say, well, if it's going down, it might be lower tomorrow. Buy tomorrow instead of buying today. That's the way people think. But if you miss that turn and it jumps up $20 and all of a sudden, I'm not going to buy now.
Yep.
I'm not going to buy now. I should have bought last week. I'm not going to buy now. Okay, I'll wait. I'll wait until it drops 20. No, it's up another 20. And next thing you know, you've missed the boat. And it's one of those things where eventually you get caught in the situation where you're saying, you know, I could have bought gold back when it was $1,200 an ounce, and I don't know what the heck I was thinking about, but I was waiting for it to go down. Nobody knows where the bottom is. You can't time the bottom. You can't time the top. Nobody knows exactly where the top is either. But from my perspective, if the dollar is going down, if the fiat dollar is going down, then gold must go up. And everything I've seen for most of my life, for the last 45 years, the dollar has been going down and down and down. It's lost 95% of its purchasing power in 45 years. Why would we think it's not that? That's not an accident, not an anomaly. That is policy. That's government policy. All right? Didn't happen by accident. Didn't happen without intent. They wanted to do that. Maybe there's a reason why they don't want it to go from 95 to 100%, but I don't know what that reason is. I think it is baked into the nature of the fiat currency. It's going to go from 95% of lost purchasing power to 100% of lost purchasing power. And somewhere along the line, the public is going to say, you know, this stuff is worthless. They're going to wake up. That's my belief. Now, I could be wrong. Maybe they're never going to be wake up. Well, if they're not, you know, God help us all. If the world is so stupid that they can't respond to fundamentals like that, then, you know, aren't we all in trouble? You know, and it's not, this isn't some bizarre hypothesis or radical line of argument. I'm just saying, look, the dollar has lost 95% of its purchasing power in 45 years. Is it unreasonable to suppose it'll lose the remaining 5% in the next couple of years? And if it does, what then? If it does, the price of gold has to go up dramatically. All right? Is it going to happen in 2017? Don't know. 2018, 2019, 2020? I don't know.
And I think, too, over the past, since 2008, 2010, 11, 12, there's been all these new analysis people projecting their opinions and saying that gold is going up tomorrow. There's these events and so forth. And they've focused too much on the prices of where gold and silver are headed. And I think that is wrong. I think the price, yes, I believe the prices are going higher. I believe you're easily going to see 3,000 gold, 5,000 gold, maybe higher. There's a lot of predictions of much higher than that. I believe you will see higher prices in silver. But that's not what we focus on. And yet, because they sell paper investments, because they're trying to put you into mining shares and penny stocks and all this kind of stuff, that's what they focus on, is the price is what's important. And that's when you're
price
buying
is what's
gold,
important if you're a speculator. Price is what's price important of, if you're a speculator. If you're an investor, you take a different perspective.
It's not that, Al, either. It's the price of gold will protect your purchasing power. It's the gold that protects. It's not so much the price. It's not the price of gold. It's the money that protects it. Whether
it's just like commercials protect us, Melody. And that's why we have to have a couple of commercials right now on Melody, and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on financial survival. What's next, Melody?
I don't know. Let's change the topic.
How about them Cowboys?
Those Cowboys.
You don't want to talk about the Cowboys. All right. Here's one from Janet Yellen. This is from the Associated Press. Yellen signals caution about Trump's economic stimulus plan. President-elect Donald Trump has pledged deep tax cuts and increased infrastructure spending to restore lost jobs, accelerate the economy, and bring prosperity to more Americans. Janet Yellen has her doubts.
Well, I have my doubts about Janet Yellen.
Well, I got my doubts about most things. It's important to have some doubts in this world. You got to have more doubts than. But after a presidential campaign full of blunt words and sweeping promises, the Federal Reserve chair sought Wednesday to make a nuanced point. The moment. This is just so crazy. This is so stupid. It just makes me laugh. The moment for a deficit-fueled stimulus to improve jobs creation has likely passed. So you got there's moments, Melody.
I know.
And you can fund these things with debt, and there's moments when you can't, and she thinks the moment of doing this with debt is past.
This is what high degrees get you.
She says with unemployment at a low 4.6%. And hiring consistently solid, Yellen said she thought employers no longer needed large tax cuts and heavy infrastructure spending to create jobs. Hey, Janet, you know, there's people out here, credible people, who believe the real unemployment rate is not 4.6%, but over 20%.
People would like to make more than $8 an hour.
Yeah, I understand that. That's another point. In fact, it goes on and says, in fact, Yellen suggested with unemployment at a 9-year low, if we don't count about 15% of the people that aren't working, a major stimulus of the kind Trump is pushing could pose risks. For one thing, Yellen indicated that the government's debt could become a heavier burden. Oh my gosh, the government's debt. Who would have thunk it, Melody? All right. As our population ages, this is Yellen, she says, as our population ages, the debt-to-GDP ratio is projected to rise, and that needs to continue to be taken into account. When did they take that into account in the last 8 years?
Yeah.
Did anybody take that into account in the last administration? But now Trump needs to take this into consideration. I'm not saying it's wrong, and you shouldn't take that, the debt or any of the elements of debt, into consideration, but it's just interesting to me to listen to Yellen advise that we need to take debt into consideration in the debt-to-GDP ratio. Yellen's remarks cast her in an unusual role. Once a strong advocate of federal spending to support the economy in the aftermath of the Great Recession, Yellen now has cautionary words about such efforts. Don't do as I do as I say, apparently. Besides expanding the government's debt, a heavy dose of economic adrenaline at this stage could also cause the economy to overheat. Oh my God, Melody, will someone please save us from an overheated economy? They've been talking how long? They want to get the inflation rate up to at least 2%, ideally 3%. And if they do, they're going to overheat the economy, and that's what they've been looking for. But now she's, oh my gosh, the economy might overheat. You know, somebody take the women and children and hide them. If that were to happen, the Fed would likely feel compelled to repeatedly raise its benchmark rate. Higher borrowing rates in turn would slow growth. So what is she worried about? If Trump gets carried away and she overheats the economy, all she has to do is raise interest rates a little bit to cool it down. All right, what's she worried about? Let Trump have his shot. She says, I would say at this point, that fiscal policy is not obviously needed to provide stimulus to help us get back to full employment. For the last 6-8 months, she's been saying there's nothing else we can do with monetary policy. It's got to go fiscal, meaning the government's taxing and spending policies have to save us because the Fed's monetary policies cannot. Now, she says all of a sudden, oh, no, not fiscal, not fiscal, which is what Trump is essentially saying. Okay, Yed Yellen and the rest of them say we got to do it with fiscal policy. He says, okay, I'm proposed to stimulate the economy with fiscal policy. And Yellen said, no, don't, not fiscal policy. You know, the whole thing just becomes bizarre, just bizarre. Yellen herself frequently noted that many Americans haven't benefited from job market steady improvement. Greater worker productivity, she says, is the ultimate determination of the evolution of living standards. And she's probably right about that. But how do we get more worker productivity when we are going deeper into debt? How do we get more worker productivity when we're going to have more robots, which means less workers? Now, it's true that as we have more robots, we will have more productivity per worker, and people are in the habit of thinking about how many widgets can one man make, all right? If he's got a robot to assist him, he can make a lot more widgets than he could make all by himself, but also he doesn't need any helpers anymore. People are put out of work by robots. So my point is, more productivity per worker, we'll get that with robots. But it doesn't necessarily mean a higher standard of living for the average American who might be unemployed. As more robots come in, yeah, we'll get more productivity, but we'll have less employment. How are we going to resolve this problem? I don't know. It doesn't appear to me that Janet Yellen knows either, or if she does know, she's not telling. But I don't know. Trump is really just trying to do what she's been saying for the last 6 or 8 months. It's got to be fiscal policy, which is taxing and spending, change taxes, change spending in order to stimulate the economy. Trump's saying, okay, I'm going to do fiscal policy. She says, no, don't do fiscal policy. That's crazy talk. I don't know, Melody. What can you make of it?
Crazy talk in a crazy world.
And what's irritating about it? It's funny. It's the kind of thing you can refer to it sarcastically and the rest. But what it's evidence of to me is, where is an economic theory that we can grab onto and believe or not believe? All right, we can choose to. I won't say any economic theory is necessarily right or necessarily wrong, but where's the one where we simply play by the rules? Here's rule one, rule two, rule three, rule four, rule 50. Play. Here are the rules. Play by them. And you don't change the rules just because we've got somebody, a new president elect. If it was sensible for the last 6-8 months, rule number 47 says it's sensible to promote fiscal stimulation by reducing taxes and increasing spending. If that's rule 47, okay. It was rule 47 for the last 8 years. It's got to be rule 47 for the next 8 years. We can't just have economics based on the theory of just do what I tell you. And that's what Yellen is essentially saying. We don't have a theory. We don't have an understanding. We don't have rules. We just have do as I say. And today I say, no, fiscal stimulus. Just a little while ago, I said, yay, fiscal stimulus. Got to have it. It's what we got to have. Now I say, no, we don't need it. It can't be that way. We've got to have a system that we can all look at if we care to. And you find the same rules that applied today, that applied yesterday, that will apply a month from now, that did apply a year from now, that will apply 5 years from now, that did apply 50 years from now, before now. Something's got to be consistent. We can't just do this on the basis of, you know, if it feels good, do it. And that's kind of what Janet Yellen is suggesting. There's an element of hypocrisy here. There's an element of inconsistency. And that all by itself is disturbing. We got to have a game that we can understand the rules. Rules can't change the game, can't change the rules every time we get a new president, a new congressman, whatever. Oh, anyway. Here's another one for Trump. Here's another headline. This comes from the United Kingdom's Daily Mail. It has a long headline. It says, Trump trolls tech billionaires. And this is in quotes. Right now, everybody in this room has to like me at least a little bit. All right, he's meeting with a bunch of billionaires in the high tech and from Silicon Valley. And goes on, Donald Trump praises Silicon Valley's biggest bosses as amazing, but then Trump takes credit for their stock prices soaring. All right? He's had a meeting with all these billionaires, and he's saying, you guys, everybody in this room has reason to like me at least a little bit. And what he says is, the reason you ought to like me is because he made the stock markets soar. Now, I think that's a mistake. I think it may be just a joke. Maybe it's just a joke. But that's the kind of joke that, in my opinion, it's not a critical error. It's not, nobody's going to die over this. But I'm going to bet you that if Trump is willing to take credit for the Trump rally, what's called the Trump rally, and the increase in the price of stocks and market indexes and whatever over the course of the last month, if he's going to take credit for that, he's also going to get the blame when it falls down. I think it was, to me, it was ill-advised. It may have just been a joke. You know, you can, you know, you may be just clowning around with these people, but the way it's
reported. I don't think Donald clowns around. I mean,
Look, he didn't do anything. He got himself elected. That is not, all right, there's been a kind of consequence here, but it's not clear we have cause and effect. Trump caused the stock markets to go up. But if he's willing to claim, if he's willing to take credit, I'm going to bet you
the
that
question
before
is,
this is done, he's going to take the blame. And they're going to people, and he's going to say, no, it was Barack Obama or George Bush or somebody. And people are going to say, no, you took the credit for the Trump rally. Now the rally's over. You got to take responsibility. It'll just be a little political embarrassment. It's not going to be, the world will not change dramatically. But I'm just saying, to me, it was, you know, perhaps ill-advised. Maybe it was a good joke. Maybe he gets more out of it. Maybe he gets more bang for that humor than he gets adversity. But still, doesn't strike me as a good idea.
Okay.
All right. Here's another one for you. This is from AFP. And the headline is, Artificial Intelligence Creeps into Daily Life. And they have artificial intelligence, or AI, is getting a foothold in people's homes, starting with the Amazon devices like its Echo speaker, which links to personal assistant Alexa to answer questions and control connected devices such as appliances or light bulbs. And they go on, they point out, Google is using artificial intelligence to make smartphones smarter. Apple is ramping up capabilities of its Siri digital assistant, and Facebook is amping up its Messenger platform. It's also the key, artificial intelligence is also the key for autonomous vehicles, meaning those that drive themselves without actually a driver. And Google, Uber, automakers, and others have expanded efforts. And I just point out, look, the artificial intelligence is growing, it's becoming increasingly apparent and relevant in our lives. Stanford University AI researcher Alexandra Elahi said he sees a future where intelligent machines...
Who was that?
Alexandra Elahi.
Okay.
Future where intelligent machines are omnipresent in our daily lives. But here's what's interesting about this. And one of them says, it's all scary, but this is going to take years to happen. By the time it's done, we'll be ready for it. Well, I'm not sure we're going to be ready for it because there was an article in 2009. This is, 7 years ago now. 7 years ago, there was an article in the UCLA newsroom entitled, Is Technology Producing a Decline in Critical Thinking and Analysis? And it says, studies shed light on multitasking, video games, and learning. As technology has played a bigger part in our lives, our skills in critical thinking and analysis have declined, while our visual skills have improved. Learners have changed as a result of their exposure to technology. Reading for pleasure, which has declined among young people in recent years, enhances thinking and engages the imagination in a way that visual media such as video games and television do not. And so what he's saying is, as we get deeper into this artificial intelligence, what they're saying by implication in this 2009 report, is that as we get deeper into this artificial intelligence and we begin to rely more and more on machines to do our thinking for us, it's like exercising a muscle, all right? If you want to be a basketball star, you got to play basketball. If you want to be capable of thought, you must actually engage in activities that require you to think. If you're engaging in activities that prevent you from thinking, they provide no need for you to think. All you have to do is point and shoot. It's a video game. Don't have to think that much. You're not going to be as thoughtful. And the point is, as we become more dependent on our artificial intelligence machines, it becomes less important for us to be capable of thinking. We become more dependent on others, including machines, to do our thinking for us. And I look at that and I think, this is a bad deal. This is something to be aware of, something to understand. You folks should do what you can. If you've got children, grandchildren, you got to do what you can to encourage them to read. You may not be very successful. You'll have a hard time competing against video games, but they've got to learn to read, and therefore increase their capacity for critical thought. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. Melody and I will be back on Monday. Have a good weekend. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.